Now, about a year ago, we started a series looking at the best sermon ever, not from me, but from Jesus, called the Sermon on the Mount, in which Jesus told his disciples about the good news of the kingdom of God, that God's new or renewed reality for life on earth, a kingdom where God's will is done, and where the dominant culture looks completely upside down and inside out compared to the culture of the world around it. And we got about two-thirds of the way through that sermon, which is in Matthew chapters 5 to 7. When we got to the end of chapter 6, we took a break to do some other stuff, and I thought it's about time we came back to that to finish off that that whole thing and see what Jesus had to say in the final chapter. So, if you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew. As usual, let me encourage you to bring your Bibles to church. It's really helpful if you can follow the passage that's being read. You can make notes in your own Bible. You can see the context. This is our main source of wisdom and authority. So let's treat this seriously. This is Matthew 7, and I'm going to read the first six verses. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Father, thank you for that, that passage. We pray that as we look at this now, as we listen for what you're saying to us together and individually, you would speak clearly. Open our ears and our minds to understand what you have to say and help us live what we learn. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's start with a quick quiz. Who can tell me what these abbreviations are? First one. There we go. First one. As soon as possible. Okay, that's easy. Next one. Ta-ta for now. Who was the Radio 2 DJ you used to say? Can't remember his name. Jimmy Young. That was the one. Yeah. Okay. Hello, Al. Oh, okay. So some variation there, probably depending on how old you are. It's either laugh out loud or lots of love. Okay, bit more ambiguity on that one. Next one, RSVP. Okay, so who how many of you are like me and just said it means you need to respond? How many said the posh French? Oh. Interesting how sometimes with abbreviations we may not know exactly what they mean, but we get the gist of it, don't we? And when it comes to the teaching of Jesus, often we think we know the gist. We know roughly what Jesus says, and so we pack it away and then get on with life because we know what he's saying. But when we do that, we are really missing out on something big. There's a verse from Romans chapter 12, which says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. And that's a reminder to us that God's desire for us isn't just to make us slightly better, just a little bit nicer. but God is wanting to transform us, to become people who know him differently and who respond like he does. To be transformed like a caterpillar to a butterfly, or like a seed to a fruit-bearing plant. It's a huge change. Paul actually uses the word in Romans, in that verse, the word he uses is metamorphosize. In other words, God is wanting to do a dramatic change in us, in how we interact and react and how we live. And in these chapters in Matthew that Jesus has been talking in, that we know as the Sermon on the Mount, that's where Jesus unpacks what transformed thinking and transformed living looks like in our everyday lives. So it's not just something that we can pack away, pop in our pocket, and off we go. We've got to stop and unpack what Jesus is saying. And if you missed any of the previous parts of the series, or if you just can't remember it because it was so long ago, most of it is on the website, so do have a listen. The topic we're looking at today is about judging others. Now, judging others, again, most of us know what Jesus says. Jesus says, don't do it. Is that fair? Okay, so Jesus says, don't do it. So we go, yeah, okay, I know that. Let's move on. But the thing is, I think it's a bit like those abbreviations. Some of us know roughly what they are. Some of us think we know what that means. But Jesus wants to unpack it a little bit more because it is not quite as straightforward as just saying, don't judge. Let me tell you why it's not as straightforward. Because right now, right in this precise second, every single one of us is making judgments. You are judging, do I agree with what Ian says? You're thinking, is this sermon going to be interesting? You're thinking, how long is it going to go on? You're thinking, do I like Ian's shirt or trousers? You've already made a decision on the music. You know, was it too loud or too quiet or too modern or too rocky or whatever? We are always making decisions. And so when Jesus says, don't judge, is he saying all those constant things that are happening in our heads, is he saying they're just wrong? Don't do it? And you might say, I'm not actually making a judgment, I'm just sharing my opinion. Well, I'm sorry, that's the same thing. It just is. Is Jesus saying, that's just wrong, don't do it? If you watch television, you will know that there is a whole raft of TV programs that are all about judging. X Factor, Strictly, Britain's Got Talent, The Voice, there's a whole variety of them. What happens is people come on stage and they sing or dance or do whatever, and then there's a panel of judges who all share their judgment on the performance. And there's usually one judge who is a bit nastier than the others, the type that we love to hate. And then we're all encouraged to ring in or go onto the website or use the app or do something to say who we judge is the best. And then at the end of the show or at the end of the series, they announce the winner. And if the winner is the one that you agree with, then you're thinking, oh, well done. And if it's somebody else, you think, oh, it's a fix. It's ridiculous. Clearly not the best person. I'm never going to watch this again because I didn't listen to what I believe is right. So is Jesus saying all those programs are wrong? If you phone in and vote, it's wrong. You shouldn't do it. In law courts around the world tomorrow, there are judges and magistrates and juries who have to decide if a person is innocent or guilty. Is Jesus saying that shouldn't happen? Today, parents are going to find that children are naughty. Maybe a little bit naughty, maybe a big bit naughty. Is Jesus saying, no, just let them do whatever they want. It doesn't matter. Or do you need to teach them and instruct them to behave in a way that is more acceptable? So we have all these things going on in our head. And meanwhile, if you're familiar with Jesus' teaching and the rest of the Bible, you know that the Bible does say there is a right and a wrong. There are some things that are just destructive, and if you go down that pathway, it's going to end up with a really bad result. And then there are right ways. The Bible is really clear that justice is important to God. He talks about not abusing the poor and the weak. He says justice needs to be upheld. The Bible talks about parenting and parents instructing kids with good teaching. It's a right thing to do. So we have a tension here when it comes to this judging thing, because we have a very sort of simplistic and nutshell understanding that Jesus says don't judge, and yet we also know that in our everyday lives we are constantly judging. So what is Jesus saying here? When he says do not judge, is he actually saying that? Well, yes, he is, but I think it's not quite as simple as that. I think Jesus is wanting us to do something slightly different. I think what Jesus is saying is, when it comes to judging others, what I want you to do is pause. I want you to pause. So before you share your declaration on how good or bad that person is, how well that person is parenting, how generous that person is or isn't, before you make a comment on how critical that person is, or how ugly or pretty or wealthy or whatever, before you make any judgment, pause. Now, this is really important, because at the heart of God is actually relationships. I've said this lots before. Relationships are so fundamentally what we understand about God. God says, I want to be in relationship with you, and I want you to be in relationship with me and with one another. And when we come with a judging attitude, what happens so easily is that we break those relationships. If you think of some of the relationships that are around you that aren't as healthy as you'd like, I am guessing that there has been judgment in those. And what Jesus is saying is, when it comes to judgment, how I want you to think and to live is pause before you spout forth your judgment. I want you to pause and think. So, in these verses, I think there are three things he tells us to pause and think about. The first thing he says is, I want you to pause and think about boomerangs. Okay, I know it doesn't actually say the word boomerang in there. I'm not using an Australian version of the Bible. It doesn't say boomerang in that either. But tell me, what are boomerangs famous for? Coming back, absolutely. So what Jesus is saying is, do not judge or you will be judged. What he's saying is, as you spout forth your judgments, be really aware it is going to come back at you. It will come back at you. Now, if boomerangs aren't your thing, there are some other sayings that say exactly the same thing. There's, you reap what you sow, or what goes around comes around. All those sort of fit in here. Jesus says, before you go and make your judgment, before you go and tell that person what the best way of doing something is, just remember boomerangs. That what you say and how you say it, whether you're being judgmental or critical, or actually if you're being really loving and generous, what comes out actually spins around and comes back at you. Now, it doesn't always come back immediately. You ever done this? You're driving through the town and you stop to let someone out of a turning and they just drive off and they don't even stop to wave or you know, flash a thank you at you. Does that ever happen? It drives me crazy. How many of you are like me, shout, "You're welcome!" But tell me this. When someone is kind to you, are you more likely to be kind back to them? If someone's critical to you, are you more likely to be critical back at them? Because I think, actually, we are. I think it's true. Jesus knows how we think. What a surprise. think that sometimes people are really critical to us, and we're really lovely. Okay, yes, that happens sometimes. But actually what Jesus is saying is that the way that we approach situations, the way that we approach people, the way that we think, we need to stop and remember that the portions that we give out will usually come back at us. That happens with people, that happens in your family, that happens at work, that happens all over the place. Now, here is the really unnerving thing. The Bible also says that happens with God. God says the same scoop that you use to measure out things on others, I'll use on you. And that's a bit of a sobering reality. If you think about all the judgments that you've ever made on people at work and at home and your neighbors and your family and at church, if you wrote all those down, those criticisms you made about people, if that list was then applied to you, if God says, all right, well, that's the list, we'll go by it, let's apply that to you, would that make you feel a bit uncomfortable? How many of you are thinking, no, please don't do that? But Jesus says, that's what's going to happen. The code that we live is going to be reflected back. So Jesus said, but look, before you jump in, because sometimes, let's be clear, sometimes it is right to make judgments. Sometimes we need to make judgments. But Jesus says, before you jump in, just pause and think about boomerangs. Because the standard that you use on others will come back at you. So just ponder that before you jump to your judgment. The next thing that Jesus says is to pause and think, what am I ignoring? What am I ignoring? And the thing that we are usually ignoring, and the hint is the mirror, is our own massive error. Have you ever noticed that we are much more forgiving to ourselves than we are to other people? We'll say, well, it's not that important. When it comes to judging, we can swoop in and we can pick faults with people, and yet we are totally oblivious to the fact that there are some planks in our eyes, some whopping great problems and shortcomings that we have. And so often we can get really wound up about things that are really serious to us, really serious in us. Jesus is saying, look, just pause and think, is there something in your life that you're actually ignoring here? That you're running away from what God is saying? Do you know you're acting like you are the judge and jury, but there is this massive problem in your life that you're just totally ignoring? Now, he's not saying that you have to be perfect in everything before you can make comments, because actually sometimes really do need to be said. They absolutely do. But he's telling us to be aware of the plank in our own eye. There's another word for that. It is called humility. And it's not a particularly common thing. It's not a really trendy thing. But Jesus is saying, before you make a judgment, be humble. It's about humility. I've heard some people, some Christians, who act like they have got it all sorted out. And Jesus is just saying, pause and think. Humility doesn't say we've got it all right. It's saying, let's just be aware, before we start labeling, they're a hypocrite, they're judgmental, let's just think, what does my eyesight look like? When it comes to our life situations, at work, at home, all those places, when it comes to relationships, we need to check our own eyes. This isn't about God condemning us and picking up on us. He says, guys, I want your relationships to flourish, to be deep, to be prosperous. I want you to be transformed into something awesome. And the way that you do that is with your relationships. And if you're wanting to judge stuff in those, just check your eyesight. So, Pause and think of boomerangs, because they may come back at you. Pause and think of what I'm ignoring. And then lastly is pause and be wise. Pause and be wise. Verse 6 talks about being torn apart by pigs. We often think of pigs as being rather docile animals. Actually, they're not at all. They can be really vicious. But I wonder if that has ever happened to you. I don't mean physically being torn apart by pigs. I think we'd probably be aware of that. But have you been in a situation where you've said something and it was right and it was wise, but instead of accepting it, the person has turned on you and they say, you know, don't confuse me with the facts, I'm right. You ever done that before? Have you ever shared wisdom in a situation and they just turned and attacked you? That is exactly what Jesus was talking about. In the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, there is a verse that says this: do not speak to fools, for they will scorn your prudent words. Jesus says, be wise. Now, we have a little bit of a challenge on this one, okay? Because for those of you who are really into the Bible, have a look at this. Verse 1, it says, do not judge. Okay, we get that. Verse 6, it says, basically, do not share to a fool. How do you discern? How do you judge if someone's a fool or wise? Because surely that is saying, do not judge, and then it's saying, judge. Well, we need to come back to what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is not setting a bunch of laws that you have to fit by. We've said that all through the Sermon on the Mount, if you remember back to that. He is saying, I want you to think differently. I want you to pause. Pause and remember boomerangs. Pause and think what I'm ignoring. And pause and be wise. So, what does wisdom look like? Well, I'm just going to give you three little things on wisdom, and then we'll finish. And these come from Mark Madovan, who's a pastor down in England, and he's very good on this whole area. The first thing about wisdom is BBM. BBM stands for brain before mouth. How many of you have had a long day? You've said something and then thought, oh, I really should have spun that one around in my head before I said it. You ever done that? Do you know anyone else who should do that? Everyone is thinking of you, by the way. Brain before mouth is that before we make a judgment, before we send that text, before we put that comment on Facebook or to people in a situation, brain before mouth is saying, okay, do I actually have something of wisdom to say here? Because sometimes what you're saying isn't wise, it's just being a pain in the neck. We've all seen other people do that. We are much less good at spotting ourselves doing it. It's not wisdom, it's just something you're trying to get off your chest. And that might be great for you, but it's not great for me or the rest of us. Wisdom says, is this wisdom something that is actually of worth? And brain before mouth is saying, before I type it, before I write it, before I text it, before I Facebook it, is this actually for my benefit or for theirs? And brain before mouth also says, am I the right person to say this? Because sometimes we are self-appointed, but actually, you may not be the right person or the best person. And it needs to be someone who is in relationship with the other person. It needs to be someone who's maybe been journeying with them. And also ask yourself, is this the right moment? Because sometimes we can destroy relationships, not because we point out a truth, but because we point it out at a bad time. We are too quick or we're too slow. Brain before mouth is just going, I'm going to think about this wisdom that I'm going to share. And am I the right person? And is it the right time? BBM. The next one is OFM, One Fact More. Wisdom understands that I am not the possessor of all the facts in the world. Maybe there is something that I don't know. One fact more may actually change my judgments. So that really annoying person at work, that really annoying person in your family, that really annoying person at church, before you say they're just a really bad character, a terrible person, maybe you want to just pause and find out why they are reacting like that at the moment. Because sometimes there is a really good reason behind it. Maybe a close relative or a good friend has just died. Maybe they've just got some bad news. All sorts of things. One fact more may actually change how you judge. Wisdom says, is there another fact that may change how I react to that person? The last one is BFG. BFG, be full of grace. When you do share your judgment, your opinion, because there are times that you have to and that it's appropriate and right to, so when you do, make sure that you are full of grace. Make sure you're full of love. I don't mean I'm saying this in love, smack, because that is not loving when that happens. Make sure that you are full of love, just as God actually interacts with us. When he deals with us, love leads the way. It's the way we encounter the sin in John chapter 8. There's a really compelling story. Most of you will know, where the religious leaders are trying to trap Jesus. And they bring out this woman who has been caught in adultery, and they throw her in front of Jesus. And they say, okay, Jesus, the Bible says that if someone is caught in adultery, they should be stoned. And yet, Jesus, you're saying we shouldn't judge people. So get out of that one then. Ha! Very tense situation, very awkward. Everyone is holding their breath. And so what does Jesus do? Well, Jesus actually does these three things. The first thing he does is brain before mouth. He pauses. And what we read in the story is he actually stopped and just wrote in the sand for a moment. He pauses. And I think what he was probably doing was praying, saying to God, what do I do here? What do I say here? What are the right words to say? How do I handle this? One fact more. I'm sure he was thinking, hang on a moment, it takes two to commit adultery, so where's the man? He's also thinking, well, these religious leaders, they aren't showing any compassion on this woman. What they wanted was simply to trap Jesus. So one fact more is saying this isn't all quite as it appears. And then Jesus does that be full of grace thing. He says something very powerful. He says, okay, the person who is without sin, the person who doesn't have any sawdust in their eye, let them throw the first stone. If you don't have a plank in your eye, if you've got perfectly clear vision, you go ahead and stone her. That's fine. And one by one, they all disappeared because they knew they had plenty of stuff going on in their own lives. The only person left who could stone her was Jesus. Jesus doesn't have any sawdust in his eye, and yet he says, neither do I condemn you. Now, go and sin no more. That's what grace says. Grace says, I don't condemn you, but you need to change something. Love leads the way, but it doesn't compromise on judgment and truth. I don't know about you, I'm aware of the time. We'll wrap up. I am so glad that God's first response is love before judgment. When what Matthew 7 is about here in the Sermon on the Mount is saying, make sure that love leads the way, not judgment. That whatever life situation you face, whether it is in your marriage whether it's with your kids, whether it's with your boss, whether it's with your neighbors, in the church, wherever you are, let love lead the way. just as it does for God. And we're going to remember in a minute, now, at this table, just how God's love leads the way. Every one of us deserves judgment. But God let love lead the way.